I am glad that when the roll is called in heaven, I'll be there. And if you haven't made your preparation to be there, this is the time to do it. Because I believe we're running out of time. I think that it's just a matter of a few short days until the Lord comes back. I know people have been saying that for as long as you can remember. They've been saying that for as long as I can remember. As a matter of fact, they were saying that in the Bible days. But you know what? We're closer now than we were. And all the signs have been fulfilled. Everything's in place. The only thing left now is for the Lord to step out on the clouds, and sound the trumpet, and call us home. It'll be a glorious day for those of us who are ready. It'll be a terrible day for those who are left behind. But I thank God that He still extends His mercy and His grace to all who will believe. Turn with me, if you will, over to Daniel chapter 3. We will look at verses 8 through 28. Kind of a lengthy reading, but I believe we need to read all of it in order to get the gist of what's going on here. I want to speak to you on the subject of facing the fire in faith. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 28. Wherefore, at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the voice of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, then at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Let's pray. Fathers, we live in a time that is threatening and dangerous. Lord, I pray that we would always remember that you are God. And that when the world says, who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? We may say with all boldness, our God is able. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verses 8 through 12 of our text here, I have entitled, They Wouldn't Bow. Now, when you look at this scripture, they had all the motivation to just go along with the crowd. Now, they were not the only ones of the Hebrews that were here. There was a lot of these Hebrew children that were taken, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel were the ones who had committed themselves not to defile themselves with anything while they were there. And because they had made that commitment, these three boys took a stand. And they said, we're not going to bow down. Now, when everybody else bows down and everybody else goes along with the crowd, those who don't bow down stick out like a sore thumb. And so the folks that were all bowed down and everybody saw these three standing up, they're just standing there. That has an effect on the others. Did you know that? Makes them feel guilty. The Holy Spirit uses that. When you are in a situation where everybody else is just going along with the system, going along with everything that the world wants to bring upon them, and you try to take a stand, you're going to offend people. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And that's what happened to these fellows. Now listen to verses 8 through 12 again. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. We're on your side, king. We're your buddies here. And we've found out something we want to share with you. They spake and said, Thou, O king, hast made a decree. That every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now I want you to see, these Chaldeans worshipped Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was their god. You know why? Because he had a fiery furnace. And they believed in their heart that he could throw them in that fiery furnace and burn them up, and so they worshipped him. Because if they didn't, the consequence was too great. Now, in our world, there are two options for us to serve the God of Mammon or the true and living God. This world has wholesale bought into the idea of serving Mammon. We do it with all of our heart, especially in America. Whenever you stop doing that, whenever you stand up and you say, I'm going to serve God, people are going to think you're weird. They're going to make fun of you. But you've got to serve God anyway. Because he's the true God. Jesus said, don't fear man who can only destroy your body. After that, has no power. Fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You see, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't do that. He can burn them up, but he couldn't do anything after that. And so, these boys simply feared God more than they feared Nebuchadnezzar. I was talking to Beth a while back, and she said, there's a lot of things that God has asked me to do that I am afraid to do, but I'm more afraid not to do it. That is exactly the condition that these boys found themselves in. God is asking us to do something very difficult here. We're going to have to take a stand that's going to cost us our life. And I'm afraid to do that, but I'm more afraid not to. Because God is God. You see, it gets right down to it. That's the question. It's not, and they made that clear to Nebuchadnezzar, it's not, can God keep you from getting hurt? Can God keep you from suffering? Can God? That's not the question. The question is God God? If he's God, worship him. Elijah made that clear on Mount Carmel when he was fighting with the prophets of Baal. He said to the Jewish people, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. You see, the problem with most Christians today is that they believe in God for salvation, they believe in mammon for everyday life. Bottom line. The problem is those two things cannot coexist. One will interfere with the other. I see in America God beginning to separate the wheat from the tares. I see that happening. The Bible says that the Lord will not return until there come a great falling away first. I believe that's what he's talking about. The separation between the wheat and the tares. The people who are pretending to be Christians and the people who are really Christians. We can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference. God knows the difference. And so there's going to be opportunity for you to take a stand for the Lord. Now, it may not be at the cost of your life. It may be at the cost of something else that you hold dear. But even tomorrow, you have to make decisions that are either going to be for God or against God. Because that whole idea of living for Jesus goes the wrong way in our culture. And we have to make those decisions every day. Are we going to comply or are we going to stand out like a sore thumb? And so here these boys made the decision they're not going to bow down. And they were encouraging one another. Don't do it. Don't bow down. Stand up. And no doubt when they heard the decree and they heard what he was going to do if you didn't bow down, and they knew very well what he was going to do. No doubt as they stood there, they said, you know, this is the day we die. This thing is not going to end good for us on this earth. But we've got to stand anyway. And so many times when things in our life challenge us, And God has in his philosophy what we ought to do, and the world has in its philosophy what we ought to do. So many times, if we're going to take a stand, we have to come to grips with that, and we say, you know, this is not going to end well for us. This is going to cost us, but we've got to stand. You see, we don't stand based on the outcome. We stand based on the Word of God. That's our authority. We belong to him. And because we belong to him, what he says we ought to do, we ought to do. And if we live that way, it will cost us. But it also pays great dividends. Our God will take care of us. You say, well, why did they take this stand? Well, they had a command. This was not just obtuse. They had a command. Listen to the command. Exodus 20, 1 through 6. These boys were very familiar with this scripture. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You see, they had a command. I want you to know we have a command for how to live too. When opportunity comes for us to stand for Jesus, we have a command. There's things we're not supposed to do. A lot of people say, well, I'd be willing to die for Jesus. Are you willing to live for Jesus? See, that's the question. You're only going to die one time. You got to live every day. If you won't live for Jesus, how are you going to die for him? We have a command to come out from the world and be holy. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. And if that doesn't fit into your lifestyle, something has to change. And what has to change is the lifestyle, not the command. God never changes. He is immutable. His word is constant. The Bible says that the word of God endures forever. And 100 million years from now, the word of God will still be the word of God. It will not change. And the way we live our lives is commanded clearly in scripture. And we need to know that. And we need to find out what God wants us to do and then live that way no matter what the cost is. Because we're not allowed to bow. Now, in order to do this, we have to form conviction. What is conviction? Conviction must not be established by other people's thought processes. Conviction is formed when you believe the Word of God is the authority for your life, and then you know what God says about a situation. If you don't know what God says about a situation, get in the Word and study it out. Because once you understand what God's Word says, if you have accepted God's Word as your authority, then that's where conviction comes in. These boys knew that God didn't want them to bow down to any other graven image. You know, that's knowledge. But conviction comes when they said, and we will not violate the command of our God. See, that's conviction. Because he's in charge. Nebuchadnezzar will die. I listened to the prime minister of Israel giving a speech the other day. And he made a statement, Brother Frank, that was very interesting. He said, the Romans tried to destroy us. And the Chaldeans tried to destroy us, and they were powerful. He said, you can't find Chaldeans today. You can't find the Romans today, but Israel's still here. Now, Israel's still here because God has preserved them. Did you know that there's a verse in the Bible that says that Israel won't be destroyed anymore? After they're called out of all the nations into Israel, they won't be destroyed anymore. I'll tell you what, if I was Israel, I'd have that verse memorized. Because they're threatened. If they're going to take a stand, they need something to base their stand on. And God has given them that promise. Daniel 1, 8 through 16 kind of gives us an idea of where this conviction came from. Listen to what he says here. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested that the prince of the eunuchs, of the prince of the eunuchs, that they might not defile, he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse lacking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, pulse is vegetables. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Now, I want you to see here, conviction does not come from victory. Faith comes from victory. Conviction comes little by little as we build on the Word of God. We don't start with laying our head on the chop block. Conviction has to begin with little things. And God begins to challenge us in His Word to be obedient in little things. And as we obey in those little things and we become obedient in those things, then it's easier to build on that, the conviction for everything in our life. And so these boys were steadily building conviction because they were obeying in the little things. And as they did, they had conviction when it came to the big things. And they would not bow down before the king. And they had confidence. Now let's look at the Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Listen to how they answered the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That's pretty bold, isn't it? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, you know why they said it that way? Because when he said what he was going to do to them, he asked a question. Who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? They said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We don't need time to think about it. We don't need to call one of our friends to get advice. If God wants to, he can deliver us out of your hand. And he will deliver us out of your hand, king. You know what they meant by that? As soon as we hit that fire, you have no more power over us. But look at this. I want you to see the confidence. When they said, he will deliver us out of your hand, they were not talking about they were going to walk out of that fire unhurt. They didn't know that God was going to do that. They believe in their heart they're fixing to go to heaven or to a place called paradise. This is their day. And they were confident that on the other side of that fire was God. Do you have that confidence this morning? When you take that last breath in these bodies, where will you be? See, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Some of us will no doubt be here when the rapture takes place. And he'll come for us in the clouds. But some of us may die before that time. And if we do, Jesus will come for us individually and take us home. And when he does that, he already has a mansion prepared for us. Now, when we face death, the comfort is knowing that on the other side of death, there's heaven. We have that confidence. If you don't have that confidence, you need to get on your face before God. Ask him for forgiveness of your sins. Ask him to save your soul and give you that confidence of eternal life. And I want you to see that they wouldn't bend. Now, the world always wants to get us to change our mind. You notice that? You take a stand. Nebuchadnezzar could just throw them in the fire, but he didn't want to do that. What he wanted them to do was back down. And so he says, you bring those boys to me. You let them tell me they're not going to bow down. You know what he thought? I'll get them in here, their knees will be smacking each other, and they'll be so scared, they'll do whatever I tell them to do. So they brought them in. Listen to verse 13 through 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Verse 15, you're going to give another chance. So listen. Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, that's bold, isn't it? They brought him in before the king. Now, they knew that he had said this. This wasn't anything new to them. They knew that when they stood up and everybody else bowed down. And he was pressuring them. He brought them right in there before him. He really was proud of his position. I can make anybody bow down. He says, now boys, I'm going to strike up the band again. Give you another chance. I kind of like you boys. But if you don't bow down this time, I'm going to burn you up. And who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? I'm Nebuchadnezzar. I am the ruler of the whole world. Nobody stops me. But they wouldn't bend. You know why? It wasn't just bravery. They believed in God. You say, I believe in God. I don't know if I could have done that. If you believe that God is really God, and that when you die, you're going to heaven, when you get in a position of having to stand, there will be grace to stand. Because our God is able to supply every need that we have. You don't get the grace till you have the problem. What we have to do is make sure we believe God is God. You know how we do that? Every day. Trusting God. We're going to need faith to trust God tomorrow. And the next day. The next day. If you walk with Him every day, then standing for Him later, it's not a new thing. But the first time you try to take a stand is when your life is on the line. You're probably going to be like these other Hebrew children. We'll eat what they tell us to eat. We'll drink what they tell us to drink. We'll bow down when they say bow down because they're in charge. And we can't do anything about it. But you see, if God is God, He asks the question, is there anything too hard for me? How do you answer that in your everyday life? You say, well, I believe that. But you see, the way we really answer that is what we do. How we respond to situations is the way we answer that. A large part of the Christian community are professing Christians and practicing atheists. Do whatever is convenient at the time. This becomes so common that now we have a name for it. It's called situational ethics. Depends on what the situation is. I was talking to a fellow Christian one time, and we were discussing the mark of the beast. He was saying what he thought the mark of the beast was going to be and all that. And I said, you know, if they start practicing this and they start handing out the mark, what are you going to do? He said, I'm taking mark. I said, why? He said, I'm not giving them my money. Now, the Bible's clear about something. You take the mark of the beast, you're going to hell. You say, wait a minute, Christian can't go to hell. If you take the mark of the beast, you're not a Christian. Because everybody that takes the mark of the beast goes to hell. Bottom line. So if you think, well, hey, I'm not giving up my money, I'm going to take the mark of the beast, you need to get saved. Because that's exactly what you'll do. If you face the mark of the beast and you're lost, you're going to take the mark of the beast. Because the only thing that will keep you from believing that lie is the Holy Spirit. And I personally believe that the mark of the beast will come at the midpoint of the tribulation period, and we're going to be in heaven when that takes place. But I want you to know, if in your heart you say, if the mark of the beast starts tomorrow, I'm taking the mark of the beast, you're not saved. Because you can't take the mark of the beast and go to heaven. You just can't do it. Bible's clear on that. This is not my opinion. Bible says everybody that takes the mark of the beast will spend eternity in the lake of fire. If I ever get the mark of the beast, it's going to be after the fight. But you see, the mark of the beast is voluntary. They're not going to force you to take the mark of the beast. You just lose your money. It's going to be hard for people who are starving to death and they have money in the bank. They just got to take the mark to get it. It'll be hard to do that. But you see, conviction is what protects us, because we believe that God is able and whatever He does is the best. You believe that? Whatever circumstance God lets in your life is the best for His purpose. And our purpose is to please Him. Now, when we think about not bending. What's it take? Well, these boys had unconditional faith. Is your faith conditional or unconditional? I believe in God as long as things are going my way. If I can see the outcome, I'm in. If I can't see how it's going to come out and how it's going to be good for me, I'm not too interested in that. That's conditional faith. Listen to this. Back in our text here, verse 17 and 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Now, up to there, most of us can say, yeah, I go off in that fire if I know Jesus is going to be there and get me out all right. But I want you to see the unconditional faith of the next verse. But if not, see, there's your key. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's pretty clear, isn't it? God can deliver us if he wants to, but if he don't, we're going to burn. We will not bow down. Job is a picture of unlimited faith. When Job was written way back, so these boys had access to Job for probably 400 or 500 years before this time. And Job is an example of unlimited faith. Listen to what Job has to say in the book of Job, chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. You see, they were kept asking Job, how long are you going to maintain your integrity? How long are you going to keep on with this? Job said, let me make this clear. I'm going to die trusting God. Though he slay me, I'm going to die trusting him. Why? Because he's trustworthy. Situations do not change the truth. Truth is truth. God is faithful. The psalmist says, your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and it's new every morning. We have a faithful God to serve. So when we realize that, there is no limit to our faith, because whatever happens, God is still in control. Ask Lazarus. He died. And it was 4 days in the tomb, so much so that Martha said, by this time, he stinks. Jesus said, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you'll see the power of God? All he had to do was say, Lazarus, come forth. And here come old Lazarus hopping out of there. We serve an awesome God. There's no limit to what God can do. And because of that, there ought to be no limit to our faith. John chapter 6, verse 66 through 69 talks about an understanding faith. Listen, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, when we understand who Jesus is, we understand that Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our everything. Jesus is our life. When we know what Jesus wants from us, it doesn't matter how hard it is, it doesn't matter what it's going to cost us, he's got the words of life. He's God. You see, death is not nearly the threat as hell is. Death doesn't last long. Hell lasts forever. You can do death. You can't do hell. Hell was not created for man. It's created for the devil and his angels. But if man rejects Jesus, it was his plan to save every one of us. But if you reject Jesus, the only place for you is hell. Then I want you to see verse 19 through 28. They wouldn't burn. I like this. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. I can just see him, little guy stomping his feet. He's so mad. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. This is chapter 3. Do you know chapter 4, the book of Daniel, is written by Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar became a believer through the testimony of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God accomplished through them what he sent them to do. I want you to know here that deliverance does not always come like this. Sometimes we die. And deliverance comes through the fire, not from the fire. But in this situation, to show the power of God, and for the purpose of God, not because of these fellows being any better than anybody else, but to show the power of God and to fulfill the purpose of God, while they were in this fire, there was freedom in the fire. I want you to know that every time you go through fire of testing and trouble and problems and situations in your life, it brings freedom. You see, more faith is created when we see God's word proven out. And it frees us. These men went into that fire bound. They were just wrapped in rope. But when they hit the bottom, ropes were burned up. They were free. While they were outside the fire, they were bound. When they were inside the fire, they were free. Well, that's encouraging to me. You see, trials come. Jesus said, while you're in the world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said to his disciples, it is necessary that offenses come. But woe unto him by whom they come. You see, Nebuchadnezzar served these young men in doing the will of God. But woe to Nebuchadnezzar. You see, even though he was used in an evil way because of the hardness of his heart. But even though he was used in an evil way, and even though he was wicked in his acts, God saved him. And so we know that God will set us free from the problems that we have in our life as we go through these trials. That's the whole purpose of the trials, is to bring us closer to Jesus, stronger in our faith, and so that we can lay down the ropes and the chains that bind us. The first part of verse 25 of chapter 3 says this. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Isn't that good? You see, these three bound men are now loose, and they have been set free by the fire. Then there's fellowship in the fire. Look at that verse again. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They met Jesus in the fire. And there's close fellowship through this experience that they have had in the fire, because Jesus came there to be with them right there in the midst of that fire. And there's a future for them after the fire. Listen to what he says here in verse 36 through 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. He goes on to promote them in his kingdom. And God used them right on through several kingdoms until they died. It's interesting, the book of Daniel begins with the captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. But then here comes the Medo-Persian army. They conquer the Chaldeans. But Daniel just moved right on in with them. And he was in their high court. And he went all the way to Cyrus. And it was in the reign of Cyrus that Daniel died of old age. You see, captivity is only captivity if God's not there. If we hang on to God, whatever we face, God can make it good. He can take care of us. But if we don't, and we let this world fashion us after its design, even when we're free, we're in bondage. And Jesus wants to set us free. Tomorrow you will face the fire, if not today. How you face that fire is real important. What you do and the decisions you make, I believe, are made clear by the Holy Spirit. This is the way. Walk in it. But we have to choose that. Whatever the cost, mark it down. It will cost more to disobey. obedience always is better than disobedience. If you're here this morning, you've never received Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you, Jesus wants to save you. He died to save you. And if you will confess your sins, call upon His name, He'll save you. If you're here and you have been wishy-washy in your stand, your life has been more fashioned by the world than it is fashioned by the Holy Spirit, this is the day to choose who you're going to serve. I believe we're coming down to a time when that's going to be extremely important. You know, there was a time here in America when you could be wishy-washy and get by with it. But I believe we're in that great falling away time. And there's a little verse in that parable that's always bothered me. The Bible says before the Lord comes back to harvest the wheat, He's going to first harvest the tares, and He's going to bind them to burn them. And what does that mean? I believe what He's talking about.